Matthew chapter 27. I want to share with you as I begin this morning that some thoughts included in this message are not completely original to me, but from a message that I heard that God used in my heart greatly this week. Many here in this auditorium and watching today will identify with the need that is presented in this message. But as we begin, I want us to look at Matthew 27, and we're going to go to the scene of the event we just sang about, the cross. And pick up in verse 32. The Bible says, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to carry or to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved himself, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, that would be noon, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour, that is 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, or 3 p.m., Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli! Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this meaningful and moving passage of Scripture, I ask today that you would do a work in our hearts. You know the needs of each one gathered in this auditorium. You know the needs of each one that is watching or listening by way of the internet stream today. And I pray that whatever our needs are, you would meet us in our need and help us today. I pray that everything that is said from this podium would be said to the honor and glory of your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you have ever felt abandoned. Perhaps someone who should have loved you well did not. And their failure to love you well caused you to feel like you were abandoned. Maybe the disloyalty of a family member, friend, people, or a person at a workplace or even a church led you to feeling abandoned. And maybe, just maybe, some of the mess of life has left you at one time or another feeling like God Himself abandoned you. Have you ever been there? Near the end of his time on the cross, Jesus uttered these words from our text. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These words are the only cry of Jesus recorded in the Gospels according to Matthew and Mark, though there were seven cries from the cross. The other six are recorded in the Gospels according to Luke and John. But Matthew and Mark, out of all seven, selected just this one as they were led by the Holy Spirit of God to include it in the inspired words of Scripture. Both passages in Matthew and Mark record that Jesus cried with a loud voice. That is, he shouted, he screamed out loudly. And suddenly, this was a cry from the depths of his soul. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The word forsaken means to forsake, leave, abandon, desert. It connotes the sense of refusing to accept or acknowledge something so as to leave it behind or forsake it. So don't miss, friends, Jesus knew what he was saying. In the midst of his pain, in the midst of his suffering, Jesus, in the depths of his soul, God the Son of Man, felt God the Father turn away from him. Desert him, abandon him in the time of his need. This statement has given rise from some, from the time of the first century even until now, that Jesus somehow, while he was on the cross, ceased to be divine. He ceased to be God during the time of his crucifixion. It's an absurd lie and heresy. Jesus, as God the Son and the Son of Man, suffered and physically died on the cross. So how are we to take what happened that made Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God the Father made Jesus, God the Son, to be sin for us. Jesus, as he suffered on the cross, became our sin. Paul also writes in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became cursed through his death on the tree. And Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet, says of God in Habakkuk 1:13, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." While God the Father saw the travail of his son's soul and was satisfied, Isaiah tells us that there seems to be this mystery that exists in which God the Father turned away from God the Son as Jesus bare and took in his body the sins of all people at all times in all the world. In those moments, Jesus understood what it was to feel abandoned by God. If Jesus could feel that, if Jesus, God the Son and the Son of Man, could experience what it is to feel abandoned by God, isn't it likely that I will too? Isn't it likely that I would feel that same experience? Certainly not in the same way and not for the same reason. But we can experience what it is to feel like we've been abandoned by God. So why is it that sometimes we give heirs that it is sinful to feel abandoned? Or even to ask the question why? Did you see what Jesus said? My God, what's the next word? Why hast thou forsaken me? Was Jesus sinning? The answer is no. He experienced what it was to feel abandoned by God. He cried out from the depths of his soul, those very words. He asked God the Father, why? I've had times in my life, haven't you? I had difficult experiences during childhood that affect me to this day. And I have often questioned why I should have had those experiences. When in 2013 we found out we were expecting our first child, and praise God for the fulfillment of what we felt was His promise to us, that the barren woman would rejoice and be the mother of children. We claimed that as God's promise to us. We found out we were expecting in 2013, after years of trying, only to have that first pregnancy end in miscarriage. I can tell you that for some time, morning after morning, I cried out to God asking why. When I was involved in a weather-related automobile accident on New Year's Day 2018 and received a phone call from the local police 2 days later to inform me that the driver of the other vehicle had died from his wounds and recommended that I secure a lawyer, I went to the bedroom in shock and just began weeping and crying out to God, and I did for months afterward. More recently, as I've experienced questions and concerns surrounding my physical health, again, I have struggled with what God was doing and why. Jesus' words were first penned by the psalmist David. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm, but it's also a representation of David's own feelings during a time of difficulty in his life. How did he feel? Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, David penned, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry out in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Friends, can I ask you today, have you ever had times in your life where that's how you felt? God, why have you abandoned me? Why aren't you hearing me? I'm crying out to you day and night, but you're not listening. You're not answering. Psalm 22, verse 6, David said, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. He had just spoken about how the fathers, the ancestors, trusted God and they were delivered. Now David says, I must not be worthy. I must not be a man even. Psalm 22:11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Have you been there? No one else can help me. No one else seems to care. God, I'm crying out to you. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for your direction. I'm asking for your strength, and it seems like you're not listening. It seems like my prayers are going nowhere. It seems like I'm not getting any direction, help, or peace from the Holy Spirit of God. So I'm simply asking you today, have you ever felt abandoned by God? These feelings of being abandoned by God have led some to rejection of God. They stop praying, stop reading and meditating on God's word. They stop going to church. They stop living for and serving Him, or they never come to Him to begin with. If you have ever felt abandoned by God, this message is for you. through the scriptures, we'll identify three good responses to our feelings of abandonment. What do you do when you feel abandoned by God? Number one, I want you to note this. When you feel abandoned by God, remember God's deep, abiding love for you. When you're in that place of life, and maybe it's because someone, a physical human relationship has soured, you were betrayed and abandoned by a spouse, a parent, a loved one, someone who should have loved you well and did not. You were betrayed by some other human relationship in a workplace, maybe even a church did you wrong. And you come to that place through those things or through circumstances of life that are difficult, and you begin to feel that even God Himself has abandoned you. In those moments, when you're in the place of feeling abandoned, it's easy to question if God really is a good and loving Father. Yet the scriptures reveal to us that God is love. He has set His love on us. He has chosen to love us. His love is perfect, and His love never ends. The prophet Jeremiah was hearing the message from God. And in the context of Jeremiah 31, God was speaking of His people who had walked away from Him, and God would turn them over to their enemies because they had walked away from Him. And in those moments, they would begin to question these same things. Is God really a good and loving Heavenly Father? And you read through Jeremiah 31, and it's emphasized over and over again how much God loved His people, how much He had chosen them and chosen to set His affection upon them. And Jeremiah says it this way in 31 verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I love thee with an everlasting love." You say, that was for Israel. No, friend, it was for Israel in Jeremiah 31, but it's for you and me today. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has chosen you. He has set His love upon you, that love that is perfect, and His love will never end. The Bible tells us that we will continue to experience the loving kindness and goodness of God from now even on into and through eternity. God loves you in a deep and abiding way. When you are tempted to think that God is less than good and less than perfect love, I would encourage you to go back to the time when Jesus felt abandoned by God. You say, why would I go back there? Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 and 46, noon to 3, there was darkness over the face of the earth, and at 3, Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And you say, "Pastor, why do I go back to that time when Jesus felt abandoned by God when I'm feeling abandoned by God?" Here's why. Because when you go back to that time, you'll remember His act, and that His act is all the proof that you need that God is always good and always love. Why? Because in that action that Jesus took of going to the cross willingly, His life was not taken from Him. He had the power to lay it down, and He had the power to take it up again. In that act of God the Father taking the sin of all people of all the world and putting it on and even in His Son, when Jesus became sin for you, God made it possible that you might become the righteousness of God in Him. And so when you feel betrayed, when you feel abandoned, when you are going through the mess of life and wonder where God is God really a good and loving Heavenly Father? Go back to when Jesus felt that He was abandoned by the Father, and remember that He experienced that for you because God loves you. When you feel abandoned by God, remember God's deep, abiding love for you. Number two, what do you do? What do I do, Pastor, when I feel abandoned by God? Remember God's deep, abiding love for you. Number two, turn your why into what? Turn your why into what? I do not believe that it is inherently wrong to ask God why. Jesus did it, didn't he? So if this morning you have lived your Christian life with the belief that asking the question of God why, that is somehow inherently sinful or wrong, friends, I would ask you to go back to Matthew 27:46, look at the words of Jesus, and see if that can be possible, that Jesus would ask it, if it is always sinful. It's not sinful to ask God why. Why is not problematic in and of itself. It becomes a problem when we stay at why. If we don't turn from asking why to asking what, then it's a problem. But when we're experiencing something difficult, especially if we feel abandoned by God, we need to turn the why questions into what questions. Think about what the Bible said of Jesus in Hebrews 5, verse number 8. The Bible says there, though he were a son, he was the Son of God, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now that's a shock to your theology, isn't it? How could Jesus learn something? In a way, even for Jesus, there was a sense in which his suffering was a learning experience. The Apostle Paul could say the same thing. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And though lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Do you see how Paul's perspective changed? He went from asking God again and again for God to take this thorn away to changing his perspective and giving God praise for the thorn because of what the experience taught him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, again the Apostle Paul. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How did Paul come to that conclusion? Could he learn how to be content if everything was always good and great and wonderful and peachy? He had to experience both good and bad. He had to experience fullness and want. He had to experience the events that cause great rejoicing and the experiences that cause great grief, to come to the place to be able to say, I've learned to be content, and I've also learned that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The apostle began to see these experiences, the bad experiences, the difficulties, the challenges, those things that would even lead us to feeling abandoned by God. He began to see them as learning experiences, as growing experiences, and even as thriving experiences. In Philippians chapter 1, the apostle Paul is in prison. And he talks to the church about how he had a desire to go to Rome, the capital of the empire, where he believed if he could preach the gospel in Rome, the gospel would begin to get out into the far reaches of the world in a greater way. Well, guess what? Paul was in Rome, but he wasn't preaching in the palace. He wasn't preaching in the great theaters and amphitheaters. He was under house arrest, bound to a guard day and night, 24/7, unable to leave his home. And yet the Apostle Paul, who had declared, "I wanted to preach the gospel at Rome," now in that place, under house arrest, facing execution, was able to record these words in Philippians 1:12. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." When you feel abandoned by God, turn your why into what. Instead of continuing to ask God why, ask God, "God, what do you want to teach me? What is it you want me to learn through this experience?" Ask God, "God, what do you want to do in me? How do you want to work in my life? How do you want to draw me closer to you in a personal way?" Ask God, "What do you want to do through me? How do you want to use this experience in my life to teach me, to draw me closer to yourself, and then use it as I serve you, as I proclaim your name? How do you want to use this through me in the life of somebody else?" Pastor Herbert Cooper said it this way: "Remember, there is purpose in pain. God uses our greatest pain as the launching pad for our greatest calling. Your greatest ministry can come from your greatest misery." I say it this way, with the Apostle Paul from Philippians 1, your bad news is a unique platform to proclaim his good news. So turn your why questions into what questions. When you feel abandoned by God, remember his deep abiding love. Turn your why into what. And then thirdly, as the gospel song writer penned, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Would you look with me at 2 Corinthians 1:20? It'll be up on the screen. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in him," that is in Jesus, "are yea, and in him," that is Jesus, "amen, unto the glory of God by us." As you follow 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is stating to the believers that this was his comfort for the hurt of being mistreated by some of the believers of this church. He's writing in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians about how they had not received him. They had not treated him well. They were talking about him behind his back. They were stabbing him in the back. How many of you know what that kind of experience is like? To feel as if someone has stabbed you in the back. When you have that type of experience and you begin to think even through that experience that God is abandoning you, here's what Paul said: "I have comfort from this hurt of being mistreated by you. I may have been in places in my life where I could even feel abandoned by God, but I come back to this place of understanding that God's promises are confirmed and affirmed through Jesus. Think about our text. In Matthew 27, 46, Jesus continued to confirm his trust in the Father by calling out to him, "My God, my God." The language connotes an unaltered, unwavering trust. Though Jesus in that time was feeling abandoned by the Father, he continued to experience and to exert an unaltered, unwavering trust in God. "You are my God." The psalmist did the same thing in Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You read through Psalm 22 and you see it again and again. He says, "My God, my Lord." Friend, when you're in the thick of it, whatever it is, and you begin to feel abandoned by God, though you cannot see and understand what God is doing right now, you can and must still trust him. You might be going through some situation right now, or you've been in that place of going through a situation where, because of the situation, because of the intensity, because of the darkness, because of how much your life has been affected, because of the abuse, because of the mental stress and strain, because of the emotions tied up in it, you may even feel that God has abandoned you, and you feel that way because you can't trace his hand. You don't see and you don't understand what God is doing in the right here, right now. But friends, can I remind you that you can barely remember the past? You struggle to see clearly what is going on right now. God is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He sees the past, present, and future all completely and perfectly clearly. And so though you may not see right now or understand right now what God is doing, trust his heart. Jesus Christ is your confirmation and affirmation that all of his promises to you are true and will be done. Promises like Hebrews 13:5. "And be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Promises like Matthew 28:20, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Like Philippians 4:6-7, "And be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Promises like Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Promises like 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Promises like Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And so, friend, when you feel abandoned by God, remember his deep and abiding love for you. Turn your why questions into what questions. And when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. I may be speaking today to someone who struggles with feeling abandoned by God. And maybe that struggle has kept you from coming to God. Your life has always been difficult. You've always had great difficulties. You've had traumas and hurts of the past that have caused you to question who this God is and how he can really, truly be a good and loving God. Friends, whatever your view and relationship with God has been, I want you to view Jesus on the cross experiencing all of that pain for you. God, through the work of Christ, was making it possible for us to be reconciled to Him. Your sin separates you from and condemns you before a just and holy God, but Jesus dealt with that on the cross. He rose from the grave after 3 days. Because of His work, your sin can be forgiven and your condemnation wiped out. I would invite you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, feeling abandoned by God is an experience that Jesus Himself understands and empathizes with. When you are there, draw on the strength available to you through the Spirit of God. Remember, He loves you in a deep and abiding way. Don't think that you've done wrong by asking God why, but turn the why into, God, what are you teaching me? What do you want to do in me? What do you want to do through me? And when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. I'd ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes for a few moments. The pianist is making her way to the instrument and will begin playing. But for these moments, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder today if there is someone here who can relate to an experience where you have felt, or maybe even now are feeling, abandoned by God. If that's you, could you just slip your hand up? Pastor, I've been there. I'm there now. I've had that experience. I know what that experience is. I'll not call you out or anything like that. Just put your hand up as a testimony to the Lord. Many hands. Friend, if God is working in your heart, if you're in that place right now, can I encourage you to make a commitment to draw on the strength available to you through the Spirit of God? Take these steps that will help you when you're in that place of feeling abandoned by God. And perhaps there is someone here yet, or watching or listening by way of the internet, who cannot claim that God is your Father. You've never believed on Jesus Christ for salvation from your sin. And that is how God is working in your heart today. If He is, I would invite you right where you are, cry out to the Lord in your heart, recognizing that you are a sinner condemned in and by your sin before a holy and a just God. Recognizing that God sent His Son in love for you to die on the cross for your sin's penalty. He wants to forgive you and become your Father, and He will if you will trust Jesus, believing that He died for you, was buried, and rose again. And you can cry out to Him right now, asking Him to save you. If you do, please let us know. Send us a message, letting us know that you trusted Christ today. Father, as we have this time of invitation, I pray that you would work to help us to respond as you lead. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The pianist is playing the song, Come Just As You Are. That's how God invites you. To come as you are, but when you come as you are, He won't leave you as you are. If it's strength you need today, He'll give you strength. If it's help, He'll give you help. If it's wisdom, He's promised to give wisdom. If you need a Savior today in Christ, He has promised that He will not turn away any who come to Him through Christ. And so if you need Jesus today, come and believe on Christ. to be saved.